Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
Hi, this is John. I'd like to send me thanks for the fab work you've done. Peace, brother. And now the time has come to fix an error that seems to be circling the planet. I never said that the Beatles were better than the Dixon James podcast. I simply said that the Beatles were more popular. Let's hope that war will be over soon. Just imagine it.
Well, thanks very much for that, John. Folks, I should tell you, I received at least half a dozen emails from John with that clip. Each time he sounded just a little bit different, so I don't know. I guess being dead has its drawbacks. Anyway, I really do appreciate that, because he knows I care. And I just want to sneak in a quick apology here. Prick, true to his word, will not be back this podcast. I'm not apologizing for that, I'm grateful. But he's threatened something last time, if you heard, and he's not around. But we'll move on, and my final apology is for the poor sound quality you're about to hear. It just gets worse. I was commenting on how it had improved, and it is much, much worse. I had just static going, and I just don't have the heart to redo it. So if it really bothers you, listeners, I'll forgive you. You can stop listening after this next clip. But if you want to hear what I have to say, regardless of static, please bear with me, and I'll do better in 2006. Thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of the show.
I've started a new method of recording. I'm doing a lot of it now on my iRiver. My good friend Ted over at Island Podcasting says he actually hears an improvement in sound quality. Much appreciated. I hope the rest of you notice that. Mind you, it's gone downhill today because my voice sounds a bit rough. I seem to get a cold every Christmas. Had mine this year, and I'm still in recovery mode. And on top of that, I'm just feeling overall tired and fed up and useless. Oh, man. All of which should be a warning that I shouldn't be starting this podcast, but again, I've confessed in the past, this is my therapy, and so this one, I've got to unload. This is going to be my New Year's podcast. I guess closing of 2005 and beginning of 2006. So once again, I'll try and end on a positive note, but I'll start with the crap. I've got a lot to say, but I'll do it in clips. And this little clip here, which I'll fit somewhere in the podcast, I don't know where, is about my visit to the mall today. It's December 29th. A very busy time. My son wanted to pick up one little thing, some artificial grass, at a place called Games Workshop. And if you're a parent or a very young person, you may know about these places. This is where these a franchise where they sell Warhammer figures, action figures, and then they have big tables set up, and all these nerds, for want of a better word, come in and play Warhammer, and they shake the dice and they fight these imaginary armies. Very neat little soldiers. I mean, they're beautiful looking. I see the attraction, and they're hand painted, and they build up these opposing forces and then battle it out. But the people doing it, there seems to be something a little unhealthy about them, like there ain't no social life. And I really worry, my kids want to go in there and look at the stuff. And I'd say, yeah, okay, but number one, it's ridiculously expensive. And number two, I really don't want you to become one of these nerds. Like, these guys don't have a real life. It's one thing to be on the internet, but these guys, I don't know. It's not kind of me to say that, but I'm calling it like I see it. The other thing that really bugs me about that place, the Games Workshop, uh-oh, using a real name, I better be careful here. I was warned about that in my podcasting book, Watch Who You Slander. Well, they greet you, in a very friendly manner every time you walk in, like an overly friendly manner, because they want you to stay, they want you to feel welcome, they want you to hang out. You're not just a customer, they want you to get sucked into this whole cult-like group. So every time I go in with my sons, they want to talk. Well, I don't want to talk. I want to spend some time with my kid, let him see what's on the shelf, and get out there actually as fast as possible. But no. Hey, how are you doing today? What are you guys looking for? So today, when I was tired and I didn't want to be there anyway, the same guy who always greets me came up. Hey, you guys having a good Christmas? Well, my first thought is, who the fuck are you? It's none of your fucking business. Why are you asking me? So I try, you know, not to answer, but he won't go away. What are you guys doing? Just hanging out at the mall today? Well, whoa, you've crossed the line, pal. You can't ask that. You have no right to jump into my life that way. You're not being friendly because you're just a naturally friendly guy, although this is what he said he was. Hey, I'm just being friendly. You're trying to create a sense that we belong there and we're all friends and this is a nice place to hang out, and it's not. Very much like, I guess maybe these other fringe groups who want you to join them behave, you know? So, I don't know exactly what was said, but enough was said that he got a little defensive. I'm always polite to clerks. Like, well, indifferent at the very least, at the worst. But generally quite friendly. I like talking to people. I like buying things. I like interacting with people. But this guy just went too far today. Like, it's not his business why I'm in the mall with my son. I don't want to answer that. I didn't want to deal with that. I'm furious because my son is buying a little container with little fluffy green stuff in for artificial turf, which you need to make these things look real, for $10. So I'm very upset that my 15-year-old son doesn't really understand the value of $10. And I'm caught because, hey, it's his Christmas money, and if he wants to spend $10 on this little fluffy green stuff, I've got a garage full of dustbin, like 100 times the amount for $5. But he didn't believe me. It wasn't quite the same. Anyway, that just, I guess maybe that was the final straw. But I told this guy, look, I don't want to answer your questions. I don't want to talk. Well, what's the matter? You just having a bad day? Whoa! Hey. So anyway, my son was embarrassed. He was upset. He bought the stuff anyway. I promised I'll never go back in there again. And I guess I better hold myself to that. But I felt bad for my son because I really had embarrassed him. On the other hand, I didn't feel I had gone far enough with the clerk. Like, I really wanted to punch him right in the face. And I'm not genuinely angry. Well, yeah, I'm sometimes angry. I'm not a mean guy. I'm not a violent guy. But I needed that guy to understand that, hey, just because I enter your store, you don't have the right to get under my skin. Which he did. So I don't know, I was hoping I'd feel better telling you this story and maybe you'd take my side. My son thinks I act like a jerk. And I did. We did talk about it. I mean, the only good thing is my son and I do talk these things out and I let him know why. And, you know, he knows I'm under too much stress these days. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. So there's the start. That's the end of 2005 kicking in. And I guess I better find a song that fits and get back to you and get started on this final podcast for the year. Thanks for listening. Sorry for being such a jerk, eh? Okay, sorry about the ambient noise in the background. It's against everything you're supposed to do. I'm sitting in the basement, I've got a furnace fan on, it's making a hell of a lot of noise, and that's what you can probably hear. I asked my sons to buy me, I think I told you last time, sorry, the podcasting for dummies, maybe not a good choice, it's pretty simple. But they do tell you things about, you know, don't sit in a noisy room, don't do this stuff, and of course, I say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and then I decide I just have to do a podcast now with the furnace on. I guess I could go shut the whole damn thing off. Here, I'm going to do that. Hang on a second, all right? There. Now, how is that? Just for you, dear listener, my family will go cold tonight so that we could have a little less ambient noise and make your podcast listening experience just that much more enjoyable. Except for the fact I'm going to bitch again. And I guess I got to get all this negative stuff out of the way because it's like I've told you before, when I'm meditating, you get all these weird, unpleasant thoughts, but you feel good after you've expressed them because they're somehow out of your system. And it seems as this year comes to an end, this year has been a wild ride for me. There's been nothing normal about it at all. And I'm only giving you half the story, but the part that's got me really pissed today, something that's really bothering me a lot, is our last shooting on Yonge Street on Boxing Day. And that poor 15-year-old girl, well, rather, her poor friends and family, shot in the face by a stray bullet by two fucking stupid gangs of guys who want to show how big they are and how much control they've got, how much power they've got, and how they're the man. Shooting bullets across Yonge Street on Boxing Day, full of people, families, children, going out to do a little Christmas, post-Christmas shopping. 7 people hit, one of them fatally. This poor young girl, who it turns out was a really nice student and a great athlete and had lots of friends and had a whole life ahead of her. And I'm just thinking, man, how would her parents feel? How would I feel now if that had been my 15-year-old and we were walking down Yonge Street at just that time when these two fucking gangs decided they're going to have a shootout? The anger comes. I mean, there's a sadness there, a deep sadness for that, and such an unnecessary death of somebody innocent and young. But like a lot of Canadians, I feel just so much anger at these assholes who are doing it. And I guess, I don't know, I don't want revenge. I just want them taken off the streets and locked up for a long time. And I don't want any more apologies or excuses. I don't want anybody saying we need more social programs. We need more basketball courts. We need more alternatives to keep them out of their gangs. Fuck that. Enough. It's a choice. Everybody has a free choice. You don't have to join a gang. You don't have to take a gun. You don't have to shoot people. You don't have to shoot into crowds. You don't have to be an asshole. That's your choice. You choose that. Pay the fucking price, man. No more plea bargaining. No more deals about, well, I'll give a little more information on somebody else. Nail every one of these fucking bastards. Everyone who's in one of those gangs, nail them. Sorry, bam. You didn't do wrong. Like, and make it kind of like a jail where it's hard service, you know. I'm not talking about Mississippi chain gangs, but maybe military style. Bam, you're up at this hour. Bam, there's your meal. And not sitting around a lounge watching TV. No, no, harder time. I'm angry. I really am. And I'm, you know, I may regret venting this. But if you know me, if you followed along, if this is not the only podcast you've listened to by the Scarborough Dude, then you know, I might feel differently another day. I might be more kind. I might have a little more love in me. Right now, I feel like it's all been drained out. And I'm just angry. And I'm angry at the people who say, well, I can't come off crack because I don't have, like, 24-hour care for my kids. And I don't want people to have children illegitimately. I don't want people to father children and walk away and leave the woman to look after them and leave the government to pay the bills. I just want people to take responsibility for their lives, for the lives around them. So I'm angry. I'm pissed. This personal note, hey, my son's 15, I got another 13. We live in Scarborough. Neither of them. I mean, there's just the odds of being hurt or being involved in something nasty are just so much greater now than they used to be. When I was a kid, man, the innocents, ride your bike all day, go forever, go into the woods, go anywhere. Swing on ropes across creeks, you know, build bridges, play on the railway tracks, go through abandoned houses. So many things we could do. The parents never had to worry about us. Summertime, you stay out late. Now we've all got to worry all the time. Kids got to have cell phones to keep in touch. It's sad what we've come to. And it's sad because it almost feels like it's getting worse. I'm going to play another rant. My rants aren't bad. I'm going to play another one from a party I was at a couple of weeks ago. Well, you'll hear that after a song, too, and that's somebody else's take on where the world is going. So, man, this may be a bummer. I won't say I'm sorry. I'm just saying that's the way it is. That's what I'm dishing out today. I'm not even going to apologize to you, the listener, because I got to get this out. I got to be done with this. So, maybe I'll find another tune. I'm going to have to play it sometime in this podcast, that tune, Which Side Are You On? Because it's a song that it's always bothered me because I've never been on one side or the other. I'm trained as a mediator now. You wouldn't know it, would you? To see all sides of issues. And I've always felt that way. I can't choose this side or this side. It's not, nothing is black and white. And that song, that union song, always bothered me. I hope, Keith, you understand that. I've just singled that one out. There are other songs I'm going to play another time, but that song draws a line. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I feel that way about these guys doing the shootings in the street. Maybe this is an instance of, hey, yeah, man, it is black and white. There is a line. And this is the side I'm on. I don't know. I'll be back. And I told you before, I'll end on some note of optimism and hope. I'll try anyway.
You got to accentuate the positive, even mind it to negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene.
To illustrate his last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark, what did they do? Just when everything looked so dark,
man, they said we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. No, do not mess with Mr. In-Between. Do you hear me?
Listen to me, chillin', Anna. You will hear about the eliminating of the negative and an accent on a positive.
Gather round me, chillin', if you're willing, and sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right.
You gotta accent
accentuate the positive eliminate the negative latch on to the affirmative don't mess with Mr. In Between
you got to spread joy
up to the maximum
bring gloom
down
to the minimum
then
otherwise I'm liable to walk upon the scene
to illustrate
well illustrate
my last remark
you got the floor
Jonah
in the whale Noah
in the ark what did they say
what did they say
say when everything looks so dark man they said we better accentuate the positive eliminate the negative latch on to the affirmative don't mess with Mr. In Between no don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Yes, I haven't gone very far. It's rant number 3. This is tied to the last one. I left out an important part of the equation. My family, I was back in Ottawa for Christmas, visiting my brother, sister, and all the in-laws and nephews and nieces and whatnot. And they asked what I thought about this shooting in Ottawa, or in Toronto, sorry. And I answered, I blame the government, partly. Now, I'm just contradicting myself, as you can see, because I said you can't blame anybody. These people have a responsibility. But the problem exists, okay? It's not, they're not going to stop by themselves. We have to stop them somehow. We, the good guys. And I think one of the first things any responsible government should and must do is take away the things that they're using to make money. Take away the drugs. Decriminalize and take control of the drug trade. Get it out of the hands of the biker gangs, these street gangs, and have it firmly under an iron grip by Big Brother, the federal government, I suppose with provincial control, I don't know. Tax the hell out of it. Treat it as a medical issue and have the money from that go towards clinics, drop-in clinics. Have it go towards supporting police who can be on the street like they are in Japan where they have these kobans, a police box in every corner where just a little comfortable, cozy little hut with a couple of bicycles out front and a desk and a computer and it's a place anybody can go to as soon as there's trouble. There should be one on Yonge Street. Not sitting back in the head office writing reports, but these little kobans, a police box, all over the damn city. Places where people go when they're lost, when they want directions, when they lose their wallet, when they think something's wrong. You know, place lost children could go to. It should be a friendly presence out there. And how are you going to fund that? Well, fund it through taking over control of the drugs. Take it away so these guys don't have this bloody stuff to fight over. They're not going to make money by joining a gang and selling pot because they can't sell the pot. It's legally available. To those 18 and over who can use it responsibly. Okay, here's the phone, so we'll end this one again.
Thank you.
Yeah, while I'm at it, I may as well keep going. One more thing about the podcasting world. I think this has been an amazing year. I mean, I know people are really proud of the fact that some of you started in 2004, and wow, you're up to the third year now. But, you know, realistically, 2005 is the year this thing really took off and really caught on, and that's great. It's been terrific. And it's been a good year, and I think there are good vibes. I guess that show in Ontario, California really, really was a high point for the community, and that's wonderful. And there's just been so many new friendships and good things shared and positive vibes. And my prediction for 2006 is it's not going to stay that way. As this thing gets bigger, more and more people are going to want on. More people are going to put up more offensive stuff. More people are going to find sneaky ways of trying to get the limited listenership. More people are going to start pimping their shows, promoting their shows, maybe even at the expense of others. And I think a lot of the friendship and the beauty and the simplicity and the idealism that's existed this year will start to get lost. I think people will come back to it. I mean, this thing is going to remain wonderful. I'm not down. It's not the end of podcasting. I'm just saying that people are going to get a little more cynical. And that includes the podcasters, the listeners too, of course. A little more bitter. There'll be a few more rivalries. There'll be more and more of aligning and realigning of forces and groups. And there'll be dirty tricks played. And it'll get a little more commercial, a little more competitive, and a little more radio-like. But still there'll be a purity. And there'll still be great shows out there, and it's still going to be worth tuning into and being involved with. So it's not really a dark picture. I've just had to interject a little bit of a cynical note that it may not remain quite as rosy as it is now. That's it.
Gotta keep those lavender vibrations happening with her.
Okay, I'm going to get my last rant out of my system now. I'm a little pissed. I've paid these back and they sound awful. I've got all this static noise. The last bloody thing I need is a problem with my new iRiver. And yet I'm hearing horrible static. So I do apologize. I don't think I can go through. I certainly can't redo these. So either I give you a different show altogether or I just say, please bear with me. Technical difficulties, static somewhere in the system. Anyway, the last thing that I was going to go on about was the state of podcasting. My whole show has been based on just doing what I want to do. I entered podcasting with the naivety of a little kid. Hey, this sounds like fun. I want to play. And got a bit of a shock when I realized there was all these rules, because it seemed to me it was so free and so wonderful and so easy and so much fun. And yet, I start everywhere I turn, I'm hearing people talk about, well, you pod safe music, recording rights, and illegal, can't do this, can't do that. And I'm thinking, whoa, I just want to have some fun. I just want to make a few little shows, a few little like tapes for my friends. And I want to share some of my music with them. And I guess one of the reasons I've talked recently about having to put an end to this, maybe quitting after 50 or 60 shows, is because sooner or later I'm going to have to face up to that. And it's a moral decision. And on moral grounds, God damn it, I'm not wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. I buy more music now than I did before. I've always bought lots of music. And I know for a fact that some people have heard my podcast and gone out and bought a CD from something they've liked, or gone out and bought Uncut magazine because I rave about it so much and the music that comes with it. And nobody's losing by this. Half the tunes I play are 50 years old and more. Nobody's being hurt by this. I'm not stealing music from anywhere. And yet I know, technically, legally, anybody could just nail me for this and come down and say sorry. And that's, I find, very upsetting. That I think decisions we make should be based on a moral code, a sense, an inner sense of right and wrong. And as far as I'm concerned, what I'm doing is good and is right and is fair. And it should not be the business of some lawyer, some big corporation, some company to say, hey, you can't do that. I'm not putting out, like, buying Madonna's CD and then ripping it and putting it out for everybody to copy. Don't like her anyway, but I'm playing a few odd songs, some new, mostly old, that fit in with themes I talk about, and I couldn't find that anywhere else. I couldn't begin to go searching for music I don't know on the PodSafe network or wherever the hell. I did, in the one case, ask for permission to play Shop Vac because it fits so nicely with what I was doing, and I appreciate that. And I hope you got a few more listeners from it, and I put up a link. John Colton, I believe that was the name. And I thank him for that, and gee, yeah, down the road I do want to be exposed to more music and hear others, but meanwhile, I've gone out and bought Danny Kaye and the Andrews Sisters and tons of other crazy CDs that are going for $6, $7, $8 in the record stores, so that I can play the odd tune to you people out there. And it just bugs the hell out of me that that's supposed to be wrong. It's not wrong. It might be illegal, but it's not fucking wrong. It's not wrong to cross the street when the light's red and there's no cars coming. It wasn't wrong to eat pussy back in the days when it was still illegal, or whatever other things people choose to get into. We can't be ruled by lawyers and corporations. This smells of communism. This is what the Cold War was all about. This was the evil we feared, that the government was going to be dictating to us, telling us what to do. Well, that's exactly what it seems is happening, and even in this wonderful free podcast world, people running around scared shitless of what they can or can't do. And it surprises me that people are acting that way. And oh, I don't know. I know I'm outnumbered, and I know people are just saying, man, you got it all wrong, but tell me how. Because I don't know who I'm hurting by playing the music I'm playing on this show. I don't know who's suffering because of that, or who's losing anything because of that. Am I done yet? I don't know. I'm sure for your sake, we all hope so, but it's not out of me yet. No, this year ain't over yet.
Anyway, good listeners, now that I've owned up to breaking the law on several counts, I mean, I've played 150 songs on this show, none of which I've had permission for, it's probably just a matter of time before somebody turns me into the proper authorities. So, I've been thinking, I don't have any listeners in Australia, none that I know of anyway. So maybe in the new year I might switch to all traditional Australian music that nobody has any copyrights for. Nobody in their right mind anyway. So we'll start off. Here's one flashback from Gungadai, and see what you think. Let me know if you think this is the way I should go or not, okay? Stay tuned.
I'm sure at Burrabove, and I'm sure at Tuggermaine. I'm sure at Big Willandra and out on the Coleraine. But before the shearing was over, I whisked myself back again. Shearing for old Tom Patterson on the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool, boys, all among the wool. Keep your white plates full, boys, keep your white plates full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as the Jack from Gundagai.
I'm sure at Big Willandra and I'm sure at Tilbury. And once I drew my blade, boys, up on the famed Barfu. At Cowan Downs and Trider, as far as Malamine. But I was glad to get back again to the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool, boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flapjack from Gummigai.
I pinked them at the Woolsies and rushed with Bebos too. Shaved them in the grease, my lads, with the grass seed showing through. But I never slum my pen, my lads, whatever it might contain. While shearing for old Tom Patterson on the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool, boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flash Jack from Gundagai.
I've been whaling up the Lachlan, I've dosed on Cooper's Creek. And once I rung Kunjingi Shed and I blurred it in a week. But when Gabriel blows his trumpet, I'll catch the morning train and push for old Tom Patterson's on the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool, boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flash Jack from Gundagai. All among the wool, boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flash Jack from Gundagai.
Okay, folks, back with you. It is now December 31st, New Year's Eve. I'm determined to finish this damn thing today, wrap it up, box it up, and put it out to you. So I'll do my best. I'm running out of time. What I'm going to do now, I'm just in recovery mode from a great little party I went to last night with some very dear friends and made some recordings, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get into that now, but in the spirit of holiday parties, I'm going to be playing about 10 minutes of a clip made December 18th, the Christmas party I go to in Kingston. And I'll let it speak for itself. There is a clip with this gentleman I mentioned earlier who has a rather dark view of the world. I want to share that with you because, hey, that's what this podcast is about. And the other side of that 10-minute Kingston clip, I'll come back, polish this up, put on another song, and wish you a Happy New Year. So stay tuned, eh? First beer, and a Grolsch can of it, just about gone. Just arrived at Alvin and Brady's party. Oops, wrong names. Those are the right names. 20 after 6. Saturday night, their annual Christmas party, which is a blast, and the guests are just pouring through the door, and I'm serving as Jeeves, because I'm right at home here. These are my old-time buddies from long ago. You've heard, he's the chess buddy I have, and they put on a feast, and people from all over Kingston come to this party, so it's a blast. And I'll see how far this goes. I thought I might make other people talk into this during the course of the evening. Depends how drunk I get, or how stoned, or whatever happens. Or I might just put this away and you'll never hear from me again. But this little clip, I'll insist on putting in, because this is really one of the great
random international part, all kinds of people, like retired professors, a complete mix of people show up here. Everybody with an interesting life story. Guy I just talked to was just a retired professor from Queens who is going off to Egypt for his umpteenth time for fun and studies. And I'm staring at a shelf of beautiful batiks and carvings from Asia, and this place, it's like a hippie dream pad, a little house hidden away in Kingston that nobody would know about. Okay, I'm outside now. This recording's probably shit because there's wind, and I didn't bother plugging in the mic. It's cold, but I've hidden my beer. I'm the only one who bought these little steam whistle beer, and I've hidden them in a fridge in a little kitchen. And I just stuck two extra bottles in the snowbank. And the only reason I'm drinking beer is because there's got to be a dozen open bottles of wine around. And I'm a nut when it comes to other people's bottles of red wine. You know, and if I don't switch back to beer, I'm going to be in serious trouble by the end of the evening. It's only fucking 8 o'clock, you know. This party, it's unbelievable. There's another professor who I met who teaches about, he taught about the Beats. He used to be a subscriber to my newsletter. There's an artist from Moncton. It's just such a range of people. And it's not like, we're not talking highfalutin Toronto fucking slick important people party. These are just humble folk who just all have an interesting life story. Speech therapist, doctor, just so many different people. And I say that with all intention of insulting Toronto, because there's too many fucking self-important people in Toronto. I'm not one of them, thank you very much. But this is just, it's just great. It's just a tiny little house. I'm looking at it now. I'm standing outside. It's a little white house. It looks beautiful. Covered in snow. Trees all around. And just a bunch of people inside. They've made a ton of food. Like Indian food, because the hostess is from Guyana. But of Indian heritage. World travelers, you know, I say, you're not interested in this. Well, I'm telling you, this is just such a nice damn place to be. And if I could have put on this recording and shoved it in people's faces, I guarantee an interesting story from everybody there. I've just spent half an hour talking with a woman, I guess she's in her 40s, who was had a restaurant for quite a while, who is now well on her way, 6 years into being, she's sworn in as a Buddhist nun. You know, there's 3-4 Buddhists here tonight from a mission down the road. They know about this place and the people. An Anglican minister. Just such a range, man. It's so rare to have things like this. So yeah, I know. You're saying, well, shut the fuck up, dude. Let's hear their story. But I don't want to stick this in someone's face. I just don't want to do that to people. So I'll keep coming back to you. I'll give you an update here and there, and who knows whether you'll ever hear this or not. But I'm telling you, this is an annual tradition, the Christmas party down in Kingston, and I'm really glad I'm here. I came down in a car with the host and hostess's daughter, who's really sweet, a fine arts student at York, a dancer, and her boyfriend, who has just turned out to be one of the nicest, wisest people I've met in a long time. So it's all good, as they say, by now.
We have probably 10 to 15 years of anything approaching normality left, and that within 10 to 15 years, things are going to be so kinky and weird that I don't think retail on Princess Street is going to look at all
probably
like
not.
It does today.
Probably not.
And in fact, you know, it could well be that we're in the midst of global or breakdown in order. The breakdown in order is going to happen well before we run out of the resources, because all you have to do is have a perceived shortage of these resources before people start fighting over them. I mean, we're fighting over them already in Iraq.
The scariest is water. Yeah, you know, when the Americans get thirsty.
Yes, but the most. Yes, but I mean, you could view this past century as one of an unprecedented, sort of like a fire sale of carbon, that basically the American Empire and the empire of the Western industrial world could be characterized as an oil burning. The whole thing has been fueled by oil, and the demise of oil is going to have huge ramifications worldwide. And I don't believe that. I really think that 15 years. For me, I'm 60. I've had my run. My daughter, who's 25, I'm not sure whether she would listen to me or to my counselor. I'm not sure I would advise her to have children. I really don't. We're that much closer to David Suzuki, who has a pretty good handle on the world 15 years ago, said maybe we had 10 years to turn it around. I know a friend of mine is an author who collaborated with Suzuki on a book this past year, and Suzuki privately believes that it's gone too far. That even if we did all the right things, if there was a huge and unprecedented reversal of course, that it's probably too late to avert huge shortages in resources and climate change of a magnitude that we're not ready for.
Tonight, they showed on TV, they showed one of the Sierra Clubs or whatever, suing the American government for the demise of the polar bear, because the polar bears, bam, they're in danger. The ice floe was melting. They're starving to death. They're too thin. They can't eat. But God, you'd like to think there was some hope. You want to hold on to that. People learn, but the signs aren't there, are they? You know, and it does look like.
Did we talk earlier about this book that affected me quite dramatically this past year, Ronald Wright's book, The Short History of Progress?
I've heard about that, The Short History of Progress.
Which is the Massey Lectures, the CBC last Massey Lectures from 2 years ago. Yeah. Ronald Wright's a very smart guy. He's a historical sort of anthropologist. And one of the things that he says in studying the demise of various empires is that in almost every case, the empires in their demise were aware of what the limiting resources were and aware of the problems they had, but they almost never took the corrective measures to turn it around. And I would maintain, and Ronald Wright maintains, that looking at the American Empire, that not only are they not taking the corrective measures to turn things around, they're not even taking the corrective measures to flatten things out. They're making all the wrong decisions and amplifying them. I mean, you've got the fate of the planet determined by a wealthy Texas oil man. How does one expect that there will be any turnaround or even moderation?
Well, the fact that half the Americans didn't vote for him, the fact that Canadians will not vote a conservative government.
What are the prospects? Let's say in the next presidential election, it would be pretty hard to imagine a Democrat being elected, but let's even say a Democrat was elected. Would it make any difference?
No.
The Democrats are no different from... They are different than George Bush, but not significantly different than George Bush. The corrective measures are not going to be taken by the American government. The best thing that could happen for the planet is the rapid demise of the American empire.
And what would replace it?
It would be very messy. It would be very, very messy, and we would be collateral. It's not like we're going to be sort of sitting on the sidelines and it's all going to be... John Crispo, the noted conservative journalist who was in favor of the war in Iraq and has been a Bush apologist for all these years, said, look, about 3 months ago he wrote an opinion piece, and he said, it's clear that the Americans are fucked, that things are going downhill fast, but you liberals in Canada don't gloat, because they're going to drag us down with them. All of these...
Now this is the first time all night since I've been listening to you that it gets frightening.
Pretend. afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
Well, boys and girls, have you had enough of Scarborough Dudes and gloom and doom? I know I have, but hey, I think we all have to take a realistic view at the world out there. I had this most wonderful conversation last night with the charming Rogue about signs for hope. We were standing on the balcony right down to heart of downtown Toronto and commenting on the fact that people don't even look at their lives. People don't even examine. They take everything for granted. They think this is just the time you live in is what's normal, and it's just this artificial constraint we've built around ourselves. We are only recently out of the caves, people. And we just have barely got a grasp on reality. And I think it's it should be the obligation for each and every one of us to take a real hard look about who we are and what we believe and what we're going to do about the rights and the wrongs of the world, you know? So, anyway, heavy enough. Yeah, I'm sorry, and I know I'm probably on a steady diet of losing listeners from all this crap. But hey, next year's a different year, and who knows what it's going to bring. So I'm going to close off now. Can't say I've had fun doing this podcast, but I've really had to do this podcast. I'm going to close with a song by Garland Bardo again called Enjoy Yourself. And I remember this from my childhood. I guess my father probably had the old 78. We had a stack of 78s, and I grew up with that kind of music. And that one I always liked, because it was kind of, as from a child's point of view, it was neat to hear the adults saying, hey, get out and have fun, because I knew as a kid that was really important. But I wasn't so sure the adults got it. So that song says, hey, live it up and have fun. And that's my message to each and every one of you. No matter how frightful the world looks sometimes, in the end, you've still got to make the best of your life. You've still got to get out there and do everything you can to give some satisfaction to yourself and to your family and friends and those around you. And do what you can to make it a better, happier place. Cultivate new friendships. That's my advice. Okay. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
You work and work for years and years. You're always on the go. You never take a minute off, too busy making dough. Someday you say you'll have your fun when you're a millionaire. Imagine all the fun you'll have in your old rocking chair.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
You're gonna take that ocean trip, no matter come what may. You've got your reservations made, but you just can't get away. Next year for sure you'll see the world, you'll really get around. But how far can you travel when you're 6 feet underground? Your heart of hearts, your dream of dreams, your ravishing brunette. She's left you and she's now become somebody else's pet. Lay down that gun, don't try, my friend, to reach the great beyond. You'll have more fun by reaching for a redhead or a blonde.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
You never go to nightclubs and you just don't care to dance. You don't have time for silly things like moonlight and romance. You only think of dollar bills tied neatly in a stack. But when you kiss a dollar bill, it doesn't kiss you back.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Thank you. everybody a very happy new year.